Man, I was just in awe of how real Jesus is. Did you know Jesus has feelings? He likes things. He doesn't like things. He's a person. You know, sometimes we forget that God is an actual person with feelings, with wants. He has desires. He has a will in everything. Amen? He's so real. He likes certain songs. He probably dislikes certain songs. Amen? He likes certain ways we come to Him. Amen? So, Jesus was the Son of God. Amen? And actually, we're going to start a series. So you can put like, Sonship Series 1, part 1. We're going to start a series on sonship. And this is also the theme of our camp that we have upcoming. How many of you know what sonship actually means? Like, sonship. I know exactly what the definition, I know what the Webster Dictionary says. Anybody? So sonship is actually really easy. It is a relationship between a father and son. That's all. That is what the definition of sonship is, a relationship between a father and a son. And we're just going to take a journey together because I'm still learning about sonship, how I see myself as a son, how you see yourself as a daughter. Girls can say amen. And how we see God as the Father. Amen. Amen. So, we are sons through salvation. Amen. We are sons. We became sons when we got saved. So salvation allowed us to be sons of God, right? And from that place of identity as sons, think about it. You know how a door has hinges? Sonship, a pastor once shared this with me. Sonship is like the hinge that opens the door to serving and to sacrifice. There's a call to serve and a call to sacrifice after you receive sonship. Not the other way around. You don't serve to receive sonship. You don't sacrifice to receive sonship. It's from the place of sonship that you sacrifice and serve. So Galatians 4:3, right here, it says how we receive sonship. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles or spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they may receive adoption as sons. You got adopted. You can turn to your neighbor and say, you're adopted. We got adopted when Jesus was sent forth from the Father to take us under the law and to adopt us as sons and daughters of God. Then it says, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We have the spirit of adoption in us. We can know we are sons because it says in the Bible, those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. We have the spirit of adoption. We have the same spirit that was in Jesus, the Son of God, that we would become sons of God. He gave us the Holy Spirit as our seal of sonship. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, and it says the Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, because He understands who the Father is. Amen? So we go on. And it says, you're not a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. This is so important. What is an heir? Not the air you breathe. An heir is like, okay, you have a father, he's really rich, he's got $1 million in the bank. When he dies, you're the heir. Basically, he gives you all the money, right? The inheritance is yours. An heir is the one who gains an inheritance, right? So now that we've become sons of God, Guess what our inheritance is? We share inheritance with the one and only Jesus Christ now. It says in the Bible, ask me the nations as an inheritance for you. And it talks about Jesus. Jesus' inheritance is the nations. And now that we are co-heirs with Jesus, the nations are our inheritance too. That's why we're able to go and preach the gospel, because it is in our inheritance in other countries. Amen? That's just one example of what we have in Christ. We have so much in Christ, guys. We have so much. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Romans 8:14. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit received you, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So there is something that testifies in you, the Holy Spirit, that you are a son. This is the thing. He will speak to you that you are a son, but there's other things that speak to you saying otherwise. As slaves, you live in fear. Because as a slave, you're a slave for the rest of your life. You don't have an inheritance. Guess what? Slaves don't have an inheritance. Slaves just get told what they do, and if they fail, they probably will get yelled at. Slaves and sons are completely different. Who's ever painted a painting before? I'm not very artistic. Who's ever drawn a stick figure? There you go. Everybody raises their hand. So when you create something, guess what? You gave it its identity, right? When you draw a painting, you make it its identity. What is it? It's whatever you painted. The same way when God created us, He's the only one who has a right to say who we are. Because the Creator is the one where creation comes from. We can't, like, an alligator doesn't come up to a monkey and say, I'm going to identify, like, that doesn't work that way. The Creator creates, and He has the right to identify, to give identity, to give purpose. Does that make sense? So, you will live based on who you think you are. Based on who you think you are. You think you're a fireman, you'll probably go fight fires. You will live based on who you think you are. If you think you're a liar, guess what? You're probably going to lie a lot. If you think that you're condemned and you're always wrong, that's how you're going to live. You're going to live under condemnation. As a man thinketh, so is he. It says in Proverbs. So it's so important what we think about ourselves. You're like, well, what do I think about myself? You think what God thinks about you. There's so many things in this world that want to give us our identity. And what you think is based on what eyes you view yourself with. Have you ever noticed if you get prescription glasses that were not meant for you, you see blurry. You see unclear. Things are murky. Things are foggy, right? The same way, when we see ourselves with the wrong lens, our identity is blurry and foggy. The only clear lens we have is the eyes of God, because He is the Creator who gave us, who made us as His creation. Amen? Is this helpful? We're just getting started. This is a whole series, a whole library. So we must know how the Lord sees us so we can see ourselves rightly. Amen? We must see God rightly so we may understand who we are. Amen? So it says that me, in this, and hold on. Let me get my notes. That means if God has created us, the source of identity should be taken from the one who made us, right? He is the source. In this world, there are so many people that we can try to draw identity from. We seek to be accepted, approved, and affirmed. Every person wants to be accepted. And you're like, no, I don't care what society thinks. I don't care who is accepted. Every person wants to be accepted, at least to an extent. Every person wants to be approved of, to an extent. And every person wants to know who they are. Amen? That goes for us as well. We want to be approved, accepted, and know who we are. Those are life's questions. Because if we know that we're accepted and approved, and we know who we are, guess what? You're unstoppable, and you are not. You don't have fear. You're fearless. You're comfortable. Not in the bad sense, though. In this world, I know when I was growing up in high school and stuff, I would just do things so I can get accepted, like straight up. So people would approve me, like even like not good things, troublesome things, just because I'm like, yeah, if I do this, they'll think I'm cool, they'll accept me, I'll become part of their posse, and we're gonna be like that gang at school or whatever. 303. Or whether it be, oh, I'm going to dress this certain way so people accept me, so people approve me. I'm going to act this certain way so people accept me, so people approve me. I'm going to talk a certain way so people accept me and approve me. Because when we seek to be accepted by other people or approved of other people, we tend to look for what they will say about us so we know who we are. Does that make sense? So you'll have a friend, and you're like, man, I feel like this person doesn't like me. They probably think I'm like this. I guess I am like this. And you start believing based upon what they think about you. The world says, this is who you should be, right? The world says, this is who you should be. But the Father says, this is who you are. There's a big distinction. The world is always like, this is how you should be. This is you. Like, this is, try to be like this, do this, right? But the Father just says, no, this is who you are. See, the world says, what you do is your identity. The Father says, what I did is your identity. So when you get thoughts of condemnation, because man, I struggled this when I was younger. And sometimes it still comes. When you get condemnation, do you guys know the devil? He's always against us. He's not for you. He doesn't love you. He hates your guts. He just wants you to be like horrible. He wants you to feel horrible. He wants the worst for you. So what the devil does, and this has happened to me. I'm like, are you serious right now? I would just be, you know, worshiping or something or going about my day. And the devil was like, remember that thing you did 5 years ago? Wow, you're such a bad person. And he starts sending you thoughts. You remember how you talked to that person? Wow, you were, and he starts condemning you. You're such a bad person. You do this and this. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction, amen? Conviction will always say, God will say, this is who you are. What you did there wasn't really who you were. I called you higher, right? It calls you, it encourages you higher. The devil just says, you're wrong. See ya, you're like, there's no way for you to be right again. Right? So he gives you thoughts of condemnation. Oh, you did that, didn't you? That was really embarrassing. You should feel really bad for that. Has anybody had those thoughts before? Or man, I failed. I wasn't good enough. I failed at doing this. I missed a goal. I don't know. Whatever it might be, right? You fail, and the devil's like, you're a failure. You're a failure. You're a failure. See, and we cannot allow those thoughts to come. Just because you think something, guess what? That doesn't mean it's your thought. Newsflash. Because when I was younger, I'm like, man, is everything I think from me? And it is not. There's three kinds of thoughts. One from the enemy, one from God, and one from yourself. And a lot of the times the enemy will try to send you thoughts. It says it in Ephesians, right? He sends those fiery arrows. So just to free, if you think something, that doesn't mean it's your thought. You have to have a filter. Does that make sense? A filter. See, you start getting thoughts of condemnation saying you don't add up, you stink, you're terrible. But we always, when we get those thoughts, guess what I do? I come back to the Word of God and what He says about me. When you start getting those thoughts, you got to have a filter. You can't let those little rocks, you got to get that clear water. You got to get that Word, which is the water that washes us, amen? So when you get those thoughts, we always must come back to what God says. When people say wrong things, when people say wrong things that condemn you, guess what? Just because they say it doesn't mean that's true. I think as young people, when we have close friends and someone says something, it can hurt really bad. You're like, wow, they really think that about me. But we must always come back to what God thinks. Because first of all, He's our closest friend. And second of all, He truly knows who we are. So if you're taking notes, number one, the Father is the source of our identity. Someone say amen. The Father is the source from our identity, the source of our identity. You notice when we buy bottled water, right? The source is not King Supers. King Supers is not the source. The source is usually a spring. You'll say, this spring water is found here, right? This is where the spring water. That is the source, and that is what defined the water and how it tastes and how it looks and how it feels. Does that make sense? The same way, you know, just because you might be with a friend, right? Well, act like, I don't know how to really illustrate this. Like, the water in the King Supers. King Supers does not define how the water tastes and everything. The source defines how the water tastes and everything. Just the same way. Your friend does not define who you are because they didn't create you. They're not the source. The Father who created you is the source and defines you. Amen? See, the Father affirms who you are. Let's go to the best example of sonship. Who is the best example of sonship? Jesus, of course. He is the Son of God. He's the best example of sonship. Jesus knew He was the Son because He knew who the Father was. His identity was based off the Father. See, you can't have a son without a father. Like, logically, think about this logically. There is no such thing as a son without a father. Biologically. Yeah. You cannot be a son if you don't have a father. Biologically. The same way, a father is not a father without children. Biologically. So this is so important. This is so important to understand. We do not see ourselves as sons sometimes, or we don't think as sons because we don't understand who our Father is. We might think like orphans sometimes. You know what orphans do? Orphans try to earn their identity. They try to get approved by everyone. They don't have an inheritance. They're living in fear usually, in rejection, right? But as sons, we have everything. We have acceptance, approval, and an inheritance through the Father. So the Father is the source of identity. See, us not seeing God as our Father will result in us not seeing ourselves as sons and daughters. We try to be independent, we feel unloved and insecure if we don't understand that who
who our Father is.
So Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is the Father's first sermon about the Son. When God just spoke. And I'm not talking about prophecy or anything right now. I mean, when God, this is the first time the Father, this is like the Father's first sermon in the New Testament. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." That's where Jesus received affirmation from the Father, because the Father was the source of his identity when he got baptized. And guess what? The Spirit rests on sons of God. That's where the Spirit rests. Amen? So the Father is the source. He's the one. Notice nobody spoke, "He was, you're the Son of God," right? The Father spoke. Jesus didn't base his identity off of what people said. He based his identity off what the Father said. Amen? They were promised a Messiah. They were promised the Son of God, right? But Jesus was affirmed by the Father. So number two. So first one was, the Father is the source of your identity. Number two, when your identity is tested or questioned, and guess what? It will be. Guess why people check your ID card? Because they want to make sure who you are. Identification is for, they will test you. "Oh, are you really this Billy Joe that you're talking about?" And they'll check your ID. And it's like, "Oh, okay, it says right here," right? So your identity will be tested. And guess what your weapon is? It is written. That is your weapon. It is written. The Word of God is your weapon. This is the thing. When someone comes and questions you, like a cop comes and questions you, and you're saying, "This is who I am. I know who I am." And the cop's like, "Oh, let me check. Are you sure?" Like, he starts questioning you. He starts testing you. You pull out your ID and you're like, "Check it out right there. That says, my name is Johnny Coupon right there. You can't deny it." The same way when the devil comes and says, "Hey, who are you? Like, who do you think you are? You're doing this, you're doing this. Oh, he's condemning you." And guess what? You're like, devil, get out. You pull out your ID card, which is the Word of God, and you show it to him. And he has no other say. You're like, "You're so out of place. You're like, who is this hooligan trying to talk to me?" You pull out the Word of God, which is your ID, what God says about you. Amen? That makes me so excited, honestly. Because it makes me mad when the devil starts saying, like, things that are not so. Because I know what is so. So I take that sword of the Spirit and I, like, thrust it at the devil. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. I say, "This is what the Word of God says." And guess what? He is defeated already, because Christ defeated him. Amen? Oh, man. So number two, right? When your identity is questioned or tested, your weapon is the Word of God. Jesus, after he was baptized, and this is, the Father said, "You are my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." Guess what? What happened next? He was led into the wilderness. And I'm going to just summarize for the sake of time. He was led into the wilderness, and after 40 days, the devil came to tempt him. What did the devil do? The devil questioned Jesus' identity. Look at this in verse 3. The tempter came which is the devil, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And guess what Jesus answered? He said, it is written. The word of God. That's what Jesus replied with. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, the word is what we live by. The word is what we need to stand our ground. The word gives us the path. It shows us the light. So when something happens, when the devil's like, are you a son? Like, what are you doing? Oh, you're doing this and this. You're like, this is what it says. Therefore, there is no more condemnation in those who are in Christ. I am not guilty. I am now blameless because of Christ's blood. I am now holy. I'm no longer a sinner, but I am a saint because of what Christ has done. The word is your weapon. The devil is called it. I don't want to talk about the devil a lot, but he gets on my nerves, man. The devil is called the accuser of brethren. Of the brethren. Guess what? We're brethren. Brothers and sisters. He will come and accuse you of things you did not even do. And I've seen this in so many circumstances. I've seen this in my own life. Something doesn't work out, and automatically people start blaming themselves. I'm not saying to blame other people either. But he'll come and accuse you of things that you're not guilty of. He'll accuse you of things you might have done in your past but are now washed by the blood, are now forgotten by God. There's a story of this guy who's debating, I don't know, prophets, are prophets real? Like, I'm going to go test this guy. I'm going to go test this prophet. He says he's a prophet of the Lord. He hears from the Lord. So he goes and he says, well, I want you to tell me, what I did, before. Tell me what you know about me and everything. What sin did I do? What sin am I struggling with? Tell me that. And I'll know you hear from God, right? And the prophet's like, okay, go home and pray and ask God, forgiveness for that sin. Go ask God forgiveness for that sin and repent. He's like, okay, I'll do that. No problem. I know I'm wrong or whatever. He goes and repents, comes back to the prophet the next day. And the prophet's like, and the guy's like, well, what was that sin? And the prophet's like, I don't remember. Because God does not remember your sin. He tosses it as far as the east is from the west. The word of God is always true. Always true. We can live by it. And we can know that if something goes against it, it is not true. We can know what is black and white. What is darkness and what is light. Amen? Who we are and who we are not. You are the righteousness of God. Say, I am the righteousness of God. Say, I am blameless. I'm a new creation. He has made you all these things. Did you know that? Jesus has made you all these things. You're no longer a sinner, you're a saint now. You're no longer condemned, but now you're accepted. You're not rejected. You're blameless and holy. So when you feel condemned, guess what? That's not what God wants for you. When you feel guilty of something, when you feel insecure, man, people don't accept me. God's like, I've accepted you already, just as you are, just for who you are. I made you wonderfully and fearfully. I designed you a certain way that pleased me. That makes me happy. Amen? When people tell us, we can't live by the opinions of people. We can't live to please people. Because that's slavery. That's not sonship. That's what slaves do. That's what orphans do. They live by the opinions of people. But sons live by what the Father says. And you know, there's so much, even in social media, I mean, we one of the biggest traps is comparison, guys. I'm not this way, so I'm not good. They're more successful, so I'm not successful. Like, that's not, the Lord never wanted us to do that. The Lord's like, no, look at me for who you are. Don't look at others for who you are. Amen? This is so freeing in life, because then you don't live under the fear of man. You won't care to preach the gospel. You'll preach it with boldness. Because you're like, I know who the Father says I am. You think I'm some weirdo? God likes me. It's true. This is so freeing, guys. The filter is God's word. Amen? The filter, you have to drink water, right? But if you, guess what? If you drink the wrong water that's not filtered, that has impurities in it, that has disease in it, guess what? It makes your body sick. The same way, we must filter our thoughts, because we will have them. You can't just be like, I'm not going to think for the rest of my life. You'll have thoughts. And the same way, if you don't filter your thoughts, guess what? They poison your mind. They make your mind unhealthy. But the Word of God is like that Brita filter that you place in there. And you pour in like, okay, here are all my thoughts that I'm getting. I pour it through the Word of God. Oh, wow. And then your mind is so healthy because you're drinking pure water. You're drinking the pure Word. Amen? Man. So when your identity is tested, what is your weapon? The Word. Your weapon is, it is written. Number three. This is our last point. I don't usually do three-point sermons, but this is, I wanted to make it easy to follow and practical. Identity is not drawn from what we do, but who God says we are. Amen? This is not just about sin. I'll show you in a sec. See, Jesus was affirmed by the Father, then he was led into the wilderness to be tested, right? To be tempted. Oh, and just a side note, because I know a lot of people, you know, sometimes like, man, I'm going through a wilderness season. I'm getting a lot of temptations. It's really hard right now. Did you know the wilderness is not necessarily a bad place? The wilderness is not your home, but the wilderness is sometimes needed. The wilderness really makes you dig deep in who you are. The wilderness will test you and show you who you truly are, who you think you really are. Right? When Jesus was tempted, well, he was the Son of God. He knew who he was. When the heat came, he's like, I got this. I know who I am because the Father said who I am. It says, it is written, right? But when wilderness, when fire comes, when people start saying things, or we're starting to have a hard time with things, when the heat comes, when the wilderness comes, it shows what we truly believe about ourselves. So if you're in a wilderness season right now, maybe you're like, man, things are so dry. Maybe this is a season where you dig deep and find who you truly are in Christ. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. It wasn't for Jesus. Jesus was affirmed. Jesus stood. He was tempted, but he stood on the Word of God. And this will prepare you for the promised land. The wilderness prepares you for the promised land. It prepares your character. It prepares your patience. It prepares your mind to think upon the Word of God. Amen? Some people go into the promised land without a wilderness experience. And guess what? They end up failing in the promised land because they weren't ready for it. After Jesus, you know, so many people want to jump right into ministry. They want to jump into, right, like, I want crowds, I want a whole church, I want to do this, I want the big boy stuff. Give it to me. But they have not been tested. And when they come, they guess what? When a hard situation comes, they're like, oh no, what do I do? God, like, what? And they can't handle it because they haven't been through a wilderness where they got their identity affirmed. Like, God will lead you. And he's like, you're going to be uncomfortable, but this is going to make you stronger. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. So Matthew 4:12. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. So we'll skip to verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, we can, and as young people, I really want us to understand this. We as young people can draw our identity from what we do. So for instance, you lead worship or you're part of the worship team. Oh, I'm a worshiper and that defines who I am. Okay, when worship ministry is taken away from you, who are you? Are you going to be lost in who you are? Or you're a preacher or a pastor of a big church. If God takes away that church, will you still know who you are? If God blesses you with a business and you're like, man, I'm a successful businessman. And you base your identity fully on a business because you're successful. And that business is taken away. Are you going to be lost in your identity? Do you guys get what I'm saying? We cannot define who we are based upon what we do. It should be exactly the opposite, actually. And I'll show you in a sec. Jesus was not defined by his ministry. His ministry was defined by him. Does that make sense? I'd much rather have someone who knows they are a son leading worship than someone who just sees themselves as, oh, I just sing worship. Right? They worship and they understand why they're worshiping and who they're worshiping. The same way, when we do ministry out of who we are, we understand who we're doing it for, and we're empowered because he has given us the Spirit. He's like, well, I'm a son, so I have an inheritance. He's given me approval. He's given me acceptance. So out of this place, I will serve. Not the other way around. Well, I serve, so therefore I am a son. It doesn't work like that. So when you stop serving, are you not a son anymore? Does that make sense, guys? You can say amen if you want. It's not necessarily what I can do for God. It's what I can do with him and through him. We can try to do a lot of things for God on our own strength. But God's like, I want you to do things with me, because that's what sons do. Slaves try to do everything by themselves. And through me, I will help you do these things. Amen? See, ministry and what you do should flow from your identity. The sources are different. See, God doesn't want us to strive for identity, but rest in the identity he has already given us. Amen? And we need to recognize these moments in our lives. When we start doing stuff, when we start serving the Lord, do we keep the focus on the Father and Jesus? Like, this is who I am because of Jesus, not because I'm doing so many great things. That keeps you humble. Sons are humble, not prideful. Amen? So review. We'll review. Is this helpful, guys? Do you guys know how to fight the devil if he comes at you? You're like, Here's the word. Number one, the Father is the source of identity. So when you draw from other sources, guys, be careful. Number two, when your identity is tested, your weapon it is the word of God. Number three, identity is not drawn from what we do, but who God says we are. Amen. So I'm going to send a little thing on the Viber chat. It's going to be a little PDF file, and it says all the things you are in Christ. And I want you guys to look over those things and you know, maybe during your devotional time or throughout your day, if you have a moment, to read over those things and know that is the truth about you and that's who you are. So I'm just going to post that. And I just strongly encourage you, especially if you're dealing with like guilt and condemnation or you're dealing with like not being accepted by people or you feel like you feel a lot of fear, just read that list and proclaim it over yourself. And it has all the passages right next to it. Because God's love, of his perfect love, the love of the Father, casts out all fear. Amen? So we must know what his love is and what his love has done for us. He sent forth his Son so we can be sons. Amen? Let us stand. There's a couple things I wanted to do in prayer today. We're going to pray, and right now, we're just going to filter our minds with the Word of God. We're gonna ask, Holy Spirit, what about me do I believe that is not what you believe? I like one pastor said, Bill Johnson, he said, I cannot afford to think a thought that is not from him. I cannot afford to dwell on a thought that is not from him. Because ultimately God has, he's the Alpha and Omega. He has the final say of what things are. Amen? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask Holy Spirit. This is going to be a quiet time where I want you to partner with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to help you break some lies. Amen? Amen. You can sit down, actually. You don't have to stand if that helps you concentrate better.